Family Law, this is your week 10 podcast where we will discuss child support. The first thing we need to introduce, and if you've done the reading and looked at the statute, you've seen reference to this. In 1974, there was a Child Support Enforcement and Establishment of Paternity Act, a federal act, that required each state to develop a comprehensive child support program and to designate a single agency known as the IVD agencies, to administer the program. And we have such an agency in Illinois. Now, what that agency was supposed to do, and ours actually took a long time to get created, funded, and operational to the point it is today, it was supposed to assist in locating absent parents, parents who weren't present and paying or supporting children, and parents is either parent, male or female, father, mother. It was supposed to establish child support awards. It was supposed to provide periodic review of those awards. And it was supposed to assist with enforcement of support awards. And where necessary, it also was to establish paternity. If paternity was not established, usually that's the absent parent situation where the father isn't on the birth certificate and or unknown or at least not present in any capacity at some point, and especially if the state is paying for medical care and support, then through a division of the Illinois Attorney General's office, they will go and try to establish paternity after trying to determine who the father is, and then get that support and repayment of things that the person should have been paying all along. Now, as far as support, there's several models that have existed over time, and Illinois used to be more of a hybrid of some of those models, and it's currently what I would consider an income shares model. The income shares model is based on the concept that the child should receive the same amount of support or the same proportion of parental income that he or she would have received if the parents had continued to live together. In an intact household, the income of both parents is generally pooled and spent for the benefit of all the household members, including any children. Illinois follows this model, and it implements the percentage of income calculations, and that's one of the things that you're going to really take a hard dive into this week as you look at the calculators that are available both for individuals and for professionals in the legal field. You know, this before this came to be, you have to recognize history, and as an example, for instance, when my parents were divorced in the early 1970s. A lot of the moms or the females, the mothers, stayed home. They didn't work. And if they did work, it was rare that they made enough money to be able to match the income of the male in the relationship or to provide to the same extent without that support. But it was definitely inequitable. Now, today, we're in a much different world, and so this income shares model sometimes works out to be, you know, equal. It depends on their income. But it's intended, rather than in the past, where the model was to just seek some sort of support, it's intended to help support the child to the extent that the child would have expected if the two people lived together, and sort of recognizes the concept that the child's an innocent party to this divorce and this custody situation, or custody and support situation, because remember, child support and custody has nothing to do with a divorce. We're sort of taking it as an extension after our most recent coverage of divorce, but children are children of the parents regardless of the marital status, right? So it takes that into consideration. That's greatly different than, for instance, in my before reference situation when I was growing up. For the majority of the time that I was a minor, my father was ordered to pay $40 a week support for four children. And trust me, in the 70s, $40 a week didn't go very far to feed four children. Imagine it today. It wouldn't buy a meal, you know, that you would cook at home at the Hy-Vee for two people. So it's changed drastically. And what you're looking at and what's available since 2016 in Illinois is really a step in the right direction. It seems complicated, but it really isn't. And the whole goal is on what we say is the goal in any issue related to child support or child custody, the best interest of the child. Now, some commonly considered factors when we're looking at child support, and this isn't just in the Illinois statute, but in general, but when you think about what you read about the Illinois statute, you see this. The income of the custodial parent, the income of the non-custodial parent, the income or resources of the child. Sometimes the child has some sort of resources, not often in most cases, but sometimes. It takes into consideration multiple families because, as we established a long time ago, 50% of first and second marriages end in divorce, and a lot of people have kids in both those relationships, maybe more, maybe kids before. If there are child support orders, you know, if you're the last person to share a child with an individual who has two other child support orders, your portion of whatever the net income is of that individual to help support the child you share with that individual is going to come after the deduction of the first ordered child support and the second ordered child support. It takes into consideration any extraordinary expenses, if the child has any sort of, health, mental health, physical health, any sort of special needs. It takes into consideration health insurance. You know, we don't have the best or the most accessible health care in this country in a lot of ways. And so if one party has health insurance, then they provide the health insurance, or if both parties have health insurance, and sometimes there's a crossover depending on those health insurance providers or the employer. All sorts of things come into play there. And then finally, what we call is our responsibility and time factors, what we in the past called custody and visitation arrangements. You know, who has the primary time and responsibility, or is it split, and all those factors, as you know from reading the statute, play into what support is ultimately going to be. Now, if somebody doesn't pay support, our statute would allow, and the law allows, and generally this is true across the United States, wage withholding. Now, wage withholding is actually the preferred method anyway, and through the IVD agency, and when you have child support first ordered, I mean, my preference would always be that the employer deduct whatever the percentage is supposed to be. Now, I say deduct whatever the percentage is supposed to be as opposed to a specific dollar amount, because not everyone is paid a regular salary or a regular amount of pay, even if they're hourly. If you imagine, a lot of you, I suspect, are like me, and in the last 5 years, I've been forced into doing a lot of extra work. If I was paying child support, my child would be entitled to, or child support would be considered from, that extra work as well as my base salary. And then you also have the situations where people say have incomes that are based on commissions. They sell things, insurance, cars, houses, whatever it is. They work on a partial commission basis. Or if you're working in the food service industry and you are getting tips as a large part of your pay. So wage withholding is always the best route. It can determine, it's a better record keeping system for most people, as opposed to situations where someone is writing the other person a check, a personal check, or transferring money through their Venmo or whatever. And some of those circumstances still exist, but I don't think that they come without conflict unless the two individuals are getting along extremely well and both have the same level of responsibility towards taking care of the child. If someone's not paying child support, you can get liens against their property. Child support's a judgment. It comes with judgment interest. You know, judgment interest is pretty significant. Somebody's not paying, they're in arrears on what they're paying, and if the court decides that they have to come up with that money, there's a lien could be placed on their property if they do not come up with what they owe and start paying what they're supposed to pay. A lot of times tax refunds, we're a tax season, right? So if someone's entitled to a tax refund and they have an arrears or they haven't paid child support, an arrearage is an amount not paid, you can seek garnishment of their tax refund. You can get their tax refund. There also is an opportunity to report their credit, which kind of, to me, goes along with the other one that's available in our statute, and you could have their driver's license affected. All sounds good, you know, you're punishing somebody or you're causing them to have to jump over this other hurdle. There's two things with that, though. That somebody isn't just some schmo that you don't know and don't have to deal with and don't care whether or not they're going to have an additional impact in their life. It's the other parent of a child, and if their credit's dinged or their license, driver's license, is suspended, then financially they're going to be deeper in a hole. And a license in particular, if you know, unless you live in a large metropolitan area with a lot of great and available public transportation, which is essentially the city of Chicago and nothing outside, it may be difficult to get to work. You may be throwing up hurdles for the individual. So I'm not really, you know, a fan of those, or those methods anyway. Now, when does child support end? Well, it ends at emancipation, which if you've looked at our statute, you know, it's always been age 18. We go back to that age 18 that may be pretty questionable as to whether the person is an adult and has the capacity to make adult decisions. I think it is. But emancipation, when they turn 18. But it doesn't just say that, right? So if a child is 18 at the beginning of their senior year in high school, it's 18, or what the Illinois law recognizes, 18 and completed high school. There's some additional criteria there that we don't see in a lot of the age 18 things. If the paying parent dies, there is child support ends. It just is what it is. And then it kind of goes back to that child. If the parent is no longer alive or passed away, then, you know, they're not going to be able to pay if the family was intact and they're all under the same roof, right? You're going to lose that support. Plus, there's typically in most people's circumstances when they die, a lot of us are at the cusp of or in the hole. And then the other one is adoption or termination of parental rights. So if a child is released for adoption and is adopted, well, then that parent no longer has responsibility to pay any support, and or if the parental rights of someone are terminated, that also terminates their responsibility to pay support. Illinois calls under 750 ILCS 5/505 our model percentage of obligor net income, and it assumes that the child rearing costs will be shared between the parents and assesses a percentage of the non-residential parents' net income as support. So who pays? In Illinois, both parents have a duty under the law to financially provide for their child or children. Both parents' financial income is utilized in calculating the child support obligation payment that the paying parent, non-custodial parent, must pay to the receiving parent, the custodial parent. In Illinois, either parent may be ordered to provide for health insurance and child support, but only one parent will have to pay child support to the other parent. It can be paid weekly, biweekly, semi-monthly, or monthly based on the way that the parent is receiving their pay, and that goes back to the preference that we just have the employer pay to the IVD agency the amount owed, and then we have a record of it. And the court is more interested in that than anyone, probably, because it eliminates most of the evidentiary issues or testimony issues that used to exist when somebody would claim, well, I paid them. I paid them cash. I gave them pennies. I wrote a check. Whatever. We have a record that's recognized. Some common expenses that are associated with support: the residence expenses, mortgage or rent, utilities, the child's educational expenses, you know, notebooks, paper books, school fees, sport fees, their food expenses, their medical expenses. And the law assumes that the payee parent won't use the child support for their own personal expenses. It's designed to go to the expenses of the child, or intended to go to the expenses of the child. So under our statute, how does the support get calculated? Well, first, and when you've used the calculators and played around with those a little bit, you see that you figure out each parent's net monthly income. You combine each parent's net monthly income. This number is both the parents is both of the parents' combined net monthly income. You look at the schedule of basic support obligations based on the parents' combined net monthly income and the number of children between the parents. You compute each parent's individual share of the percentage of the basic Illinois child support obligation. And then the payor parent will pay to the payee parent the percentage amount. The payee parent's share is automatically assumed to be spent on the child or children, so the payee parent keeps their share of the child support obligation. The Illinois court will depart from the guidelines in certain situations if the court finds the application of the Illinois statute would be unfair, unjust, inequitable, or not in the best interest of the child. Now, in departing from the guidelines, the court will look at the following factors: the monetary needs and monetary resources of the child or children, the monetary needs or monetary resources of the parents, the lifestyle of the child or lifestyle the children would have enjoyed had the divorce not been executed, the mental and emotional and physical condition of the child or children. The lifestyle thing, that's not, well, Johnny's used to getting the latest PlayStation, whatever it is. That's, they had been going to a certain school in a certain area, and that's still accessible, or they've been going to a school based on religious beliefs, or They had been involved in a certain sport. There are some reason, and, you know, again, if we go back to the comments that I've made several times, if the people had lived in the same house, and now you're splitting the house up, the household up, the parents are going in different houses, it stands to reason that while there might have been a combined amount of income available in the household for the purposes of child support, now those two individuals have two Ameren bills, two rents or mortgage payments, two real estate tax or other payments. They have two sets of food bills. They're making two meals instead of one meal at dinner time. All additional expenses. Now, once the child support order is entered in Illinois, the decision is final and it can only be challenged or modified if there has been a substantial change in circumstances that was unforeseen at the initial time of the initial child support judgment. Now, a substantial change is change in employment status, positive or negative, okay? Increased income, decreased income, change in physical or mental status of either parent that makes it difficult to come up with their share of the support, anything like that. Change in status of the child. But child support then, as I said, there's a change, and child support should be reviewed as time goes on, and especially as incomes change or expenses change or circumstances change, the custodial or the person with the most time and responsibility for the child remarries or gets married and is living with someone who's covering all of their living expenses, that could be raised. Child support's going to terminate when the child, as I said, turns 18 years of old or of age, or 19 if the child was attending high school at the time the child turned 18. So either 18 and graduate from high school, or, you know, they turn 19 during high school, we're done. And that's what the law says. So that's the nutshell version of child support. Please do the reading. Please stay or use the resources I provided. Please go into the site and play around with both calculators and run those numbers and spend the time, okay? Spend the time. If you're not putting 3 hours of time into this course, a minimum, you're not getting what you should get out of it. And you know, you might squeeze by on the grades, you might pull one over on me, but you're going to get out there and you're going to be in the job and you're going to be like, damn, I wish I would listen to Higgins and use this tool and been more familiar with it, because now I have to fake it and you can't fake it. So spend the time to do that here, all right? I appreciate your efforts. This is week 10. We have 5 weeks in the final week. It's going to go fast. The weather's going to get better. You're going to be distracted. So dial in, focus, and ramp up your effort.